Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Forecast is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This episode of Forecast is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly, all streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to Forecast, episode 121. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Scott Johnson.
And this is the show where we predict the future, sort of. We get a couple of smart guests to join us and share their visions of this future, right, Scott?
That is true. That's exactly true. And Tom, today is no different.
Dave Nelson is joining us, founder and host at the sci-fi podcasting network Galactic Netcast. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you very much, Tom and Scott. Great to be here.
Great to have you along. And of course, Glenn Rubenstein, you might know him from At the Controls. You might know him from lots of other stuff here at TWiT. He is also our community management promo and marketing guy now.
Yes.
Your latest gig.
I know. They keep finding stuff for me. It's
I know. And you're doing a great job, by the way.
Well, thank
you. Fantastic. And thanks for being on Forecast.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me back. My third appearance on Forecast.
I was going to say, he's the only three-peat, right?
No kidding. Yeah, and he will be the only one to three-peat.
He will forever be the only hat trick in the history of the show. Why is that, Tom? Why is that such an ominous statement you just made?
Well, a lot of people know this already, but next week will be our last episode of Forecast. The show will feature just Scott and I, no guests. We've never done that before. We've done predictions with our wives hosting before. We've never done just the two of us. So I don't know. Maybe we'll interview each other. Maybe we'll use a rift in space-time to have two versions of each of us. Working on that. Tony's working on a rift engine. In any case, we are sad to see the show go, but we have been very happy to be able to do over 121 episodes. We'll do 122 episodes before it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot of shows make it that long.
No, this is any show that makes it over 100 consistently has my respect, because that means they stuck to it and they really pushed hard and made a cool show. And so we did it. We made it over that big hump. We go out in style. We go out on top, Tom.
Some people might say that's 122 shows too many. But to you, we say you're why we're getting canceled.
That's right. You people. Jeez.
No, seriously, we've had a blast. It's been a good run. No show lasts forever. I've been playing. Top Five is long gone. Current Geek. The Real Deal. There are all kinds of shows I've been associated with. So it's you always miss them, but that just means you got more time to do new shows. And Scott, we'll have a collaboration to announce at Nerdtacular.
Yeah, there's something really cool coming from us, something that people may not exactly expect. I mean, as far as podcasting goes, you and I do lots of other things, one of which would be Autopilot, which still airs on Wednesdays. That's still going strong. We got season one to wrap up, season two around the corner. So there's plenty going on in that world, but we have something kind of special that may or may not surprise some people out there. I'm pretty excited about that.
More on that by following us around in your car.
Stalk us.
Or on Twitter. Scott Johnson.
Stalk us on Twitter.
At Scott Johnson. Me at something ridiculous.
Haste to tech.
Let's get into the predictions. Let's stop making our guests live through this uncomfortable announcement and get to the actual predicting of the show. And Dave, we'll start with you, since this, you're not a three-peater. We got to give you something, because Mr. Bragger over here is trying to steal all the glory.
Well, you know, me and Glenn do shows together already, so it's cool. I don't mind being the first to go before he is.
All right, let's hear it then. What do you got for us in your crystal ball?
All right, so scientists will finally come to the conclusion someday, maybe in the future, that time travel and light speed are totally impossible, but the one thing they can do is go to parallel universes. So finally a breakthrough is made and the technology is perfected after a few years of government teams traveling from universe to universe, maybe kind of like Stargate, but with alternate universes, and making contact and acquiring advanced technology. They finally authorize a parallel universe tourism industry. First, it's small stuff. It starts going bad. That's the next thing that happens. Things start happening that shouldn't be happening. First, it's small stuff, like people returning to the wrong universe, or but then things get worse, like criminals from other worlds start hiding out on Earth and then, you know, committing crimes and then going back to their home planet. And then, like religious groups, they disagree with the behavior on other Earths. So they send a nuclear bomb to other parallel Earths. So the government tries to regulate it, but the technology's out there and it's too late to stop. So that's my prediction. Parallel universe travel before time travel or before light speed travel, I guess.
I hadn't even considered this before, this idea that you would move from one universe to another, one version of my Earth to another version, where the only major difference in this new one, for example, would be everyone has only one nostril, let's say, except me. So my doppelganger with one nostril comes back and takes my place. Clearly, that's not a good idea. First of all, we both get made fun of. We're both going to be the minority on our planets. One nostril, two nostril. There's old double nostril there, everybody would say to me.
Two nostril Johnson.
It doesn't seem like a good setup. But I think you're right. I think you would have all kinds of... I hadn't really considered this. There's all this... We've had talk on the show all the time about parallel universes, but we've never talked about the ramifications of mixing the two. That gets real bad. It isn't as simple as... good Spock doesn't have a goatee and bad Spock does. I think it's a lot more complicated than that.
Did you see that? I'm sorry.
It makes it more difficult when you look exactly like the person on the parallel Earth that you're going to, and you decide to maybe step into that person's life for a while, and then they come back, they're like, what are you doing here, alternate Dave? So
do you watch Fringe? Because a lot of people in chat room are pointing out this is similar to Fringe. How does this differ from what we see on the show?
Because we're able to go to a bunch of different universes, not just the one universe. And you've got your choice. Something else that could happen is you could be sent to an Earth where dinosaurs still live. And you get stuck, you know, run away from dinosaurs or something like that. So the margin of error is pretty thin when it comes to alternate universe travel. And I think they'll, in the future when this is developed, people will actually discover that it's not the coolest thing in the world. Bad things can happen.
And that's kind of a Men in Black vibe I'm getting from the whole criminals hiding out on the planet, right? Like, they'll come here, we won't know they're among us. They'll look like us. That'll even be worse because they're not just disguised. They really look like us. So we'll inherit potentially a bunch of serial killers we didn't already have, but we still have our other serial killers unless they leave. Like, how much of our bad stuff will leave, do you think? Is it an equal exchange program in your future?
Oh, yeah. I think definitely, because once these Earths discover that we have this technology, they'll acquire it because, of course, the government will go from planet to planet and do, you know, technology exchange or cultural exchange. So they will actually acquire the technology as well. So they'll set up their tourism. They'll come to our planet and vice versa. It's going to get dicey.
There was something I saw on Reddit recently, but I guess it's from like a year or two ago. Some guy did a post. It was clever viral marketing for a mashup album he did telling the story about going to a parallel universe where the Beatles had never broken up, and he stole a cassette tape from a guy. And he essentially put it online as MP3s, and it's very clever mashups of the Beatles' solo work to construct new songs. But he has this great story.
And how does it sound?
It sounds okay.
Convincing?
Reasonably.
All right.
You know, but he has this great story about going through literally a rabbit hole, getting into another universe, and then being told that there's this parallel dimension travel, and this is what he stole from the guy, was this cassette tape of a Beatles album from that universe where they never broke up.
Wow. Think of the copyright law violations.
Yeah.
You know, with all of these parallel universes. I mean...
Just go to the one that doesn't have one yet. Like, there's got to be... See, if there's truly infinite parallel universes, infinite implies that there is some... There's one just like this, with no differences, except they don't have copyright law.
Yeah.
It's got to be. So go to that one. That'd be great.
That would be an awesome Earth to go to. I would love there.
Now, Dave, what makes you think that we'll have, like, lots of crime spreading? Because I'm thinking of a parallel is when we finally began to travel across the oceans to other continents, and at first there were tons of of crimes, ethnic crimes, conquering, stealing, looting, etc. But it settled down eventually. Do you think that would happen as well with the parallel universes? Will we have colonization of parallel universes?
Well, I think so. I think that's true. I think that's possible. But also, you know, there's going to be like Earths where there's going to be peace and there's not going to be any crime. But then
ruin that. We'll just come in and just conquer the crap out of them because they won't be suspecting it. No, I'm sorry.
Because that's what we do. That's when we colonize, we screw everything up. I mean, look at our history. So there's going to be the Earths that are going to be nice and peaceful. But then I think there's going to be the extreme where it's going to be completely the opposite, where a crime's going to be really rampant. So I mean, infinite possibilities. If there's one constant in the world or in the universes is that there's the lower denomination of, I mean, there's certain type of behavior that you always see.
Will there be travel advisories? What kind of shots am I going to need for the various parallel universes? I mean, these are things I need to know.
Well, that brings up another point is this is great for the economy. I mean, you know, drug companies will have to develop new vaccines for different diseases or, you know, different conditions on other Earths are not the same here. So new clothes have to be made. So I think this will be a boom for the economy. Let's make this happen now.
Well, and you're going to have to be careful which parallel universe you visit, because if there are infinite parallel universes, there are going to be some that are hostile to our life or even to our physics, where you step into that universe and you immediately cease to exist as a bound atoms because it's entirely antimatter. You just go up in a puff of smoke.
Well, this is where the government teams come in. This is where SG-1 comes in. They experiment. They go to all these different addresses, just like on Stargate. Keep on going back to Stargate, but seeing what the atmospheres are like on these different planets and how conditions are different from here. And these will be the different worlds that it will be okay to go to.
I tell you,
authorized worlds.
I love parallel universe stuff. I was a big fan of the Sliders series, and I love what they're doing on Fringe with this. I have come up with all kinds of story ideas myself involving parallel universes. One was that you would use parallel universes as shortcuts for travel because, you know, they don't match up exactly. So if you go in at one point and you travel a short distance and come out, you'd actually have gone much farther in your own universe. And so it actually is a way to do faster than light travel. You just take a shortcut through the parallel universe.
You just blew my mind, Tom. That blows me away.
And then the parallel universe gets mad because all these people are taking a cut through. You know, it's like the neighborhood that puts the speed bumps in because they're tired of people using it as a shortcut.
Well, it'd be interesting to go to all these different parallel universes where, like, for example, World War II ended up differently, where the Nazis, I know this story's been done a billion times in books and stuff, but where the Nazis won the war, or, you know, or where maybe air travel was never invented. Or, you know, possibilities are endless. I think it's a rich, rich environment to think about.
Glenn, what parallel universe would you most want to visit?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, I like, and I mean, similar to what I was saying about that Beatles viral marketing site, I like the idea of the alternate realities of the what could have been, mm-hmm. like Christopher Walken playing Han Solo. You know, I would love to just get the media from the parallel universes.
She's fast enough for you, old man.
To see the different casting decisions, you know, to see the different things that happened.
So you'd just go for movies.
Oh, because, I mean, that's the safest way to do it. I just want to import media from parallel universes.
So you wouldn't travel. You just
Well, because you never know. Download. You could end up in an underwater world and mm-hmm. die. I mean, there's too many risks. And if Sliders taught us anything, it's that it's a slippery slope, and then you're hanging out with the female equivalent of yourself had you been born a girl, you know, or somehow some weird reality where they write your younger brother into the show. I mean, weird things happen on Sliders.
Yeah,
and I think
the
it's
later seasons
tale.
Get a little...
Yeah. So hold on. I'm stumped at the whole Tom does a Christopher Walken impression. Can we hold off for 1 second? I want to hear that one more time.
Time? I don't think I can do it again.
Holy crap, that blindsided me. That was awesome.
That was good.
That was actually Christopher Walken.
Only took 121 shows.
And a hit ain't one of them. Which parallel universe would you end up wanting to go to, Scott?
Oh, man. There are so many. I think I want the one where humans have evolved slightly more in the direction of us constantly concerned about self-preservation. And this is going to come off all serious, but I guess it kind of is. It's less about self-preservation and constantly thinking about what does this mean for me or what do I get out of it? The whole what's in it for me mentality has ebbed some. So that humans have gotten past that, we realize that, hey, we're at a place now, both technologically and socially, where we don't need to constantly be on guard that if we take our food or an opposing army is going to invade our land. And we get to a place where we can just kind of back off from that and be nicer to each other. Just find a better utopian ideal of human interaction. Always laced. It just seems like everything's laced with just a little bit of that instinct, of that self-preservation, even in the most benign of situations. So I understand how it gets real bad in very political situations and government stuff and in certain kinds of societies where it gets really thick and bad. But I just, for once, I want us to not have that anymore. So if one of those universes is out there and we still have cool technology and we got great video games to play and all those things are still, if we could just be a little less, actually, here, I'll take you down this road. I think video games are the answer to us being the universe that they all want to come be in, because video games allow us to act out in ways that we would prefer to do in real life. In other words, if I want to play Assassin's Creed 3, I can tomahawk dudes in the back of the head all day, but I'm never going to do that in my own real personal life. Perhaps video games will carry us to a place where all of those aggressions, all of those natural instincts, all of that self-preservation, and all of that aggression can be taken out there, and the rest of life can be free of that. That's a way to go, right?
And here I thought you were just going to say, I want to live in the Warcraft universe.
Well, all right, that.
I want to travel to Orgrimmar, but it's real. No, you have a much better vision than what I was expecting. I kind of was going to go with reptile people, bipedal intelligent reptile people as the universe I wanted to go to, but then Scott made me feel bad, so now I want to go to the one where everybody's nice to each other and there's world peace with the reptile
people. You can still go there. Maybe you can introduce the sort of world peace to the lizard people, the lizard men, which clearly the lizard men have issues. They need the lizard women to have a little bit more. No more glass ceiling in the lizard world. Come on.
Yeah. Just, you know, no prejudice against the warm-blooded. Okay?
Right.
Dave, did you have a particular parallel universe that you were thinking would be the one you'd want to visit?
Not one in particular, but it would be really interesting to go to these different parallel universes and find yourself and ask yourself what decisions you made in the same situation that you were in and how they made it differently and how their life ended up differently. You know, if you would have zagged instead of zagging and that kind of thing. So not one particular one, but I'd like to meet myself on a number of different Earths to just to see how my life could have ended up differently.
Yeah, you go find the most successful version of you, sit down, talk, find out like, okay, where did I go wrong? What would have led to me being as successful as you? And then you kill him and take his place.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah.
I think that's the key, right? Being able to explore it all.
All right. I think this is great. I like this parallel universe future where I get to listen to more Beatles albums, become incredibly successful, and meet reptile people.
Perfect.
Yeah. I'm in. All right, cool. Thank you, Dave. That was a great prediction.
Thank you.
let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor, Netflix. If you have an Xbox 360, a PS3, or a Nintendo Wii, you can watch Netflix on your TV right now. Or if you're like, I don't have one of those game consoles, Tom, I have a Roku. You can do it on a Roku. You can actually do it on a lot of televisions, just built right into the television. You can do it with Apple TV. You can do it with your Mac, your PC. You can do it with your iPad. There is almost no end to the devices that have Netflix built in already. So if you haven't tried it yet, there's really no reason not to go try. Netflix.com/twit gives you a 30-day free trial. You don't have to spend a dime. Sign up. Watch some TV shows, watch some movies, watch as many as you want. There's no limit except for your bandwidth and your attention span on how many you can watch in a month. So take that 30-day free trial, netflix.com/twit. And if you're like, oh, I already have Netflix, it doesn't really help me, pass it along. Give it to a friend. Take it to a parallel universe. Hook up a reptile person with Netflix.com/twit. And we thank them for their support of Forecast. All right, Glenn, we hand the predicting stick over to you.
Well, I have a small one that's based on a strange phenomenon I've been noticing. As I sit at home and watch TV, as many people know, you know, I watch a lot of television, more than perhaps is humanly healthy to do. I'm flipping around channels, and I started noticing about a year or two ago, I was like, oh, hey, look, MTV, it's showing Point Break. Point Break's a great movie, no problem
yes.
there.
Yes.
Flipping around, hey, the Golf Channel is showing Point Break. Then, two or 3 weeks ago, I flip around. Current TV is showing Point Break. I think Woo! At some point in the future, every
this,
cable
this is
channel,
true?
Yes, this is absolutely true. It must be either really cheap or people must love it. And God knows I love me some Point Break. I think it's one of my favorite films of all time. But it seems like just maybe it's cheap licensing. I think at some point, every cable channel is going to jump on this Point Break bandwagon because it seems to be just ubiquitous and everywhere.
That is really odd. I yes. wonder if there's like no... I mean, the Golf Channel shows movies, first of all. That one kind
they
of
threw
me.
They show Teen Cup. I understand that. But Point Break, just I don't get it. It's happening. So that's a small one I wanted to toss out there. It's real. It's happening. It's a strange phenomenon. Make of it what you will.
You know there was a Point Break attraction at Metreon. Did you go see
no.
it?
Oh, my God.
It's gone now. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. But they had an entire room of the Point Break experience.
Wow.
Yeah,
could you wear a Ronald Reagan mask and set your gas hose on fire?
It was like a 3D like surround sound something or other. I think it got splashed with water because they warned you, you know, don't wear anything you don't want to get wet in.
Wow, I would have gone to that.
Yeah,
I'm bummed nobody bothered to tell me. But
well, that's why it's gone now.
I have a more serious and bigger prediction, though,
right.
And this has to do with wearable computing. And I'm sure you guys have talked about this. Google Glasses being all the rage. People talking about wearable computing and what that's going to do for our day-to-day lives. And I think two things. One, and Dave and I were talking about this on Spreecast the other day, just pontificating upon the idea about jamming technology and privacy and what this is going to mean in terms of the idea that if you're able to wear a computer and record everything, what is this going to do for just privacy in general? I mean, in business situations, in social situations, how are you going to be able to know that someone isn't wearing something that could be recording everything that's going on?
Sure.
We're going to need some sort of jammable technology. But then secondly, the implication about how boring will this make life when you're dealing with your friends and family. And as it is, how many people come to you, Tom, and they say, hey, I got this problem. This is what happened today. Let me tell you about, you know, this back and forth I had with somebody at work, about somebody in my personal life. Can I get your advice? Think about in the future where we actually have to sit through the recordings of all of this stuff.
Because you have to sit through the recordings because why?
Because people want your advice, your input. Uh-huh. They want to show it off.
Oh, and so it's the vacation slideshow
yes.
effect where they're like, here, let me show you what
exactly.
happened.
Exactly. And they're not going to edit it down. I mean,
right,
maybe they will.
Right.
If you know, God willing, they'll edit it down. But the idea that when people want to tell you about their day, when they want to seek out advice, it's no longer going to be the secondhand version that's condensed. It's going to be, what do you think this means? What do you think this means? Going through and wanting to just really dig into the minutia because we're going to be able to record everything as it's happening.
Ugh, I don't like that future. I the idea that I have to get that detailed with anything I repeat is that sucks. I like back to some basic human things. I hope we don't evolve out of. I like the nature of our species. I like the fact that Tom could tell me a tale and I could go retell the tale, but the way I told it had a little bit of augmentation on it, mm-hmm. and it put a little spin on a certain part of it. And then I go on, and somebody else goes on with my tale and retells it again, and before you know it, it's this fantastic thing that will make movies one day or whatever. And I there's something about that I like, passing it down generation. But you're right. We already live in a time now where everything is being so recorded now that I can't go a day without somebody saying, Mr. Johnson, 6 years ago, you mentioned on one of your early podcasts that you felt, and then they'll catch me in some change of opinion I have now.
Well, you're already living this then, because your life is recorded a lot anyway.
Yeah, that's true, and that's exactly what I'm getting at. I feel like Glenn's right. Now, I don't know what the situation will be. Will it be that when I say, "Geez, I really want to be able to cook a better spinach quiche," mm-hmm. for some reason, which I would never do, but let's say I did. And then I would walk up to, I don't know, someone I know, and they would say, well, let me break it down for you, bloop, and put up a holographic image and, you know, show me the when they last cooked it. That seems like a good idea on the surface, but I just think people are going to say, no, you put too much flour in it, just make sure your crust is this and that, and call me tomorrow and let me know how it goes. Like, there is a power to us still being able to communicate like that, despite the fact that everything we do now is recorded.
Well, let me just be clear. If my wife's listening, I love hearing about your day, and I look forward to a future where I can actually watch a recording.
I'm not talking about you, honey.
I'm not talking about you. Not at all.
Dave, what do you think of this? Do you agree that the wearable computing? I mean, I know you guys have talked about this a little bit. The wearable computing is going to require jamming.
I don't know. I like the idea of wearable computing, and I like the fact of being able to go back and actually relive my life, just because my memory is the worst ever. Like, I can never remember people's names, and I'd like to go back and just, like, hit rewind to a place where I met them so I can, like, remember their name. But this actually reminds me of, there's a British anthology series, and I forget the name of it.
Oh, Black Mirror.
Yeah, Black Mirror. And this was the theme to one of the episodes. And I forget exactly what the end result was, but you could actually go back and relive moments in your life. And it's very intriguing.
Well, it was an implant, and it was a relationship, if I recall correctly. The pilot was brilliantly done, and I was thinking about that today in regards to this as well. It was dealing with, when you analyze the minutiae in conversation, if you're trying to figure out, as Dave pointed out in this episode, like if someone was cheating on you, you could go back and find subtle clues by rewatching and studying it. Ultimately, it drove the guy insane, and he gouged the implant out of his head because he just couldn't stand what it was.
Too much truth.
It was, yeah, literally being able to analyze too much. So it's interesting, Dave. So for you, you would actually enjoy being able to go back and rewatch and relive these moments.
Yeah, because it drives me crazy because you already kind of relive that moment in your head already. When if you like have a conversation with somebody and you're not exactly sure what was meant by something somebody said, so you kind of relive the moment over and over again to figure it out, to kind of analyze it, and I think it would make it a lot easier to actually just watch it and just see it again for real.
Now, see, here's an intriguing thought. When you were saying that, it reminded me of something we all do. When somebody says something snotty or insulting and you don't say anything back, and then later you're like, oh, what I should have said was, what if you could then hack into the recordings of everyone who saw that and make it so you did say that? And it starts to change people's memories because they're like, oh, I didn't remember he said that, but here it is. It's in the record.
George Costanza from Seinfeld in the jerk store moment.
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't have to go find that dude and do the line. You could just change it in the recording.
Yeah, just hack into the Matrix and all of a sudden everybody's like, no, I mean, I guess he did say that. It's right there. And then you could change arguments. Like, you never told me that. No, I absolutely did.
Well, and I think that's part of it, too, is as we talk about, I mean, I think about in terms of not so much the implants, but the recordings of it. People, as it is now, I feel like when people come to me for advice or tell me stories, and you know how it is when somebody has an argument, and we've all done this, as Scott said, like with embellishing the truth a little bit, we do tend to insert things we wish we'd said sometimes when talking about what we did actually say.
That's true.
We do tend to spin it. So it's very interesting to me, the idea that we could watch the actual record of what happened. But I like the idea, someone was saying, even talking about, you know, in the chat room, like a record skipping. I like the idea that that would be a punishment, kind of like a prison thing, a futuristic prison, is you're on a loop of having to relive and rewatch something terrible that happened to you almost as a punishment for a crime. The idea that you're sentenced to sort of relive something painful, or perhaps they dig through your archives to find your least favorite moment of life. Like the worst, the time when you got...
It might actually cure you of being worried, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's similar to what they do for PTSD.
Yeah.
Is they walk you through. So maybe what they do is they show you that, and then, I don't know, somehow, or show you different versions of it where it gets worse every time.
Yeah.
So they actually resensitize you rather than desensitize you.
Well, it reminds me, one of my favorite short films of all time predated Groundhog Day, but was 12:01 p.m. with Kurtwood Smith. The idea where he's reliving the same hour, the same time loop, and he can't get out of it. I mean, that seems like the most amazing prison to put somebody in, is reliving the same time with no way of breaking it. They can do different things, but at the same time, they can't escape it, forever doomed to that fate. I think that's worse than life in prison, if you ask me.
Scott?
Mm.
Let's go to Glenn's prediction. Glenn, what's your prediction? I see, we're just making you relive your prediction. See what I did there?
That was quite avant-garde.
It's like I just saw a black cat twice. Yeah, that was weird.
I think these are both fascinating predictions, the parallel universe and the wearable computing. Because when people talk about wearable computing, they always talk about the advantages of convenience. You won't have to pick things up. Things will happen automatically. But the data recording capability has an immense downside. And I think it's not just the fact that there'll be so much of it that it will dictate our memories and how we deal with things, but also that it will be changeable, that it'll be unreliable in different ways. You know, hard drives will crash,
yeah,
and big parts of our lives will disappear, and maybe we won't be able to remember things as well because we sort of get used to relying on the record.
Well, and think about just how annoying some aspects of life are now with everyone having a cell phone camera on them. I mean, look at paparazzi, look at the TMZ effect.
Yeah.
So imagine what's wearable and you can't even detect it. I think a lot of people are going to be humiliated by what gets out there because they're not going to know they're being recorded.
Was it Chris Marquardt who had suggested that we'll have cameras that record in all directions at once all the time on Forecast?
And then we'll be able to pick
the perfect picture in retrospect?
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago either, and it was this idea that photography as a thing would kind of go away. So I would no longer carry one of these around with me. I would be silly to, because if everything's being recorded around us 360 degrees all the time, and it didn't matter where I was at any given moment of the day, you would just take whatever frames you want, and we'd have the kind of bandwidth and storage to do that sort of thing, and this fits kind of into that a little bit.
I wonder if we were recording all the time, would paparazzi still be necessary?
Mm.
In other words, the value of the paparazzi now is they get you that picture you couldn't see anywhere else.
Yeah.
They get you that visual of Jamie Lynn Curtis. No, I don't know.
Whoever.
Whoever that is.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan. That you... I don't know where that name came from. That you would otherwise not see. But if everything's being recorded and you can see pretty much anyone in most situations at any time,
there's going to have to be some detection technology for this, because it's going to be trust no one, because you'll have stealth. Paparazzi will no longer be the guy with the camera or the guy at LAX airport waiting outside, you know, on TMZ. It will be people that are planted hanging out in the club who are capturing these moments using wearable computing. There's going to have to be some way to jam it or some way to detect it, or else there's going to be rampant paranoia and mistrust. Yeah, I think it's not only paparazzi, it's also business situations. I mean, imagine with, the espionage, with the military, with sensitive people getting access to sensitive information in businesses. People are going to have their guard up if they think at any time. And I think with Google Glasses being on the horizon, I mean, in an undetectable way, this is, my guess, 10 years off? Maybe?
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not even that far.
Yeah.
Glenn, imagine a future where... no matter who you walked up to, think of the game changer this would be. If suddenly everything in everybody's mind at any given time was just on display, and there was nothing anybody could do about it. It wasn't a technology that did it. It was just suddenly everybody's brain simultaneously mutated to know, to really just read people's thoughts. And so you could walk into a room and just know instinctively, intuitively, and in reality what everybody in that room is thinking, what's on their mind right now, and what that would do to society. Would it destroy us because everyone would be suddenly embarrassed that guy's thinking about a naked goat herder, and this guy over here is thinking about killing somebody, and this dude over here is not thinking about anything, and this guy just wants to play video games, and all these different kinds of thoughts. Would it destroy us, or would it be such a leveling effect, such a playing field leveling effect, that everybody would just stop trying to impress each other, stop trying to fool each other into thinking certain things, not trying to get stuff out of each other? Would we just stop doing that and go a whole new direction we can't even imagine? Because now it's just all laid bare. There's no, you know, if somebody has a tendency to think about weird stuff, that's just Frank. He thinks about weird stuff and there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, to a practical implication, I think that it's going to cause people talk about behavior being excessive these days and people, you know, doing crazier things, looser morals, people making more questionable decisions. I think it's actually the thing that's going to cause maybe us as a society to think before we act a bit more. I think we're going to become a little more conservative as a society about our behavior, given the idea that at any time we could be being recorded. And it's as we see these greater displays of this, I think people, it's going to cause people to rethink their actions a little bit.
Dave, what do you think of that question that Scott just posed?
I don't know, but I wanted to go back to something else real quick.
Sure.
I think that this is the ultimate argument solver. Like, you and your wife argue over like a story that, you know, she thinks that you always get wrong, you know, the ending of the story that you always get wrong. You just go back to the videotape or video and see who was actually right. And then also, you know, if you're like, if you come up with a great idea, like for software, you know, you can, you know, make a note to yourself, make a memo to yourself that, okay, on, well, you won't even have to say the date or the time. It'll just automatically log that. And if you're the first one that came up with that idea, it knows. You know, you can't really fake that unless you can hack the system. And then never mind.
Padre SJ points out, it can end the argument about what happened, but it cannot end the argument about what it meant. I think that's a very subtle and insightful yes. comment. Because, yeah, I mean, sure, we could have the version of Google spell check for facts that just pops up when someone says, no, you said this. And Google's like, did you mean they said this? Because that's what actually we have in the record. But you could still like, yeah, but what'd you mean by that? Well, that's up for debate. Where debate can be had, we will debate.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's a way around it. Even in my scenario where everything's laid bare, I don't think we even can get away with it then. In fact, it'll probably just be really, really divided. So instead of somebody trying really hard to, I don't know, participate in their particular party's affiliation, now when his mind is open and everybody can see it, they'll see, oh, well, that guy turns out is a total tea partier or something like that. And it's obvious because that's what's in his head. Well, then that guy's going to probably then finally pick his side and hold fast and be really, really divided from his friends that are perhaps left-wing.
Or we become more tolerant because we know that that's true of us, too, and we become less prejudiced against people's beliefs.
Well, and to Dave's point, I think that the reason why this is such a near-term thing is think about something like Google Glasses. Think about memory prices where they are, and think about that everyone could be living with, similar to your DVR having an hour-long buffer, everyone could be living with a buffer that's recording all the time with wearable computing to where I think the argument quotient of it, that's something I didn't even consider. I think that's where it can really get out of hand.
Buffer bloat.
Yeah. Well, and people can save after the fact. So it's no longer the idea of you have to press record and recording. You're always recording. You could select.
It's like a DVR.
It's like a DVR for your life.
Totally. I want to rewind. No, I don't. Great stuff. Thank you, Glenn.
Yeah, thanks.
And thank you all for watching as we move on to four questions.
Yeah, Scott. Tom, it sounded there for a second like Tom was going to end too soon. No, it's time for four questions. We're going to ask you four questions rapid fire style. This is your last time to hear guests answer our four questions before Tom and I answer them next week in our final episode of Forecast. Dave, I'm going to ask you my questions of you. Are you sitting comfortably, sir?
No, I'm not, but that's probably not going to stop you.
It won't indeed. Here is your first question. When they find your bones in 1,000 years, what do you hope they say about your bones?
They look awesome for how old they are.
Nice bones.
Nice bones, man. It's a pretty sweet looking bone. All right, next question. Today's E3 kicked off in LA. That's the Electronic Entertainment Expo. What do you predict the next Xbox will be called next year?
Besides 720, it's not going to be the 720.
Nope, can't be that. I should have specified the rules. Can't be 720.
Why not? Well, what if it's called the 720?
Because it's dumb, and they better not use that.
Okay, it's going to be called nothing because the world's going to end on December 21st, 2012.
Correct. You faced the challenge and did well. You've passed. You chose wisely. Next one. When we finally start painting our faces again. No, I'm sorry. When will we start finally painting our faces again with the blood of our enemies?
In 20 years when football gets really extreme.
All right, cool. American football or international, the game of football?
Every sport possible.
All right.
Every
anything sport. With a foot and a ball. Got it.
Yeah. Yep.
When we all have cameras built into our eye sockets, how many megapixels will they start with?
Megapixels?
20
megapixel. That's pretty good.
2020.
Yeah. Okay. 2020, hence 2020 vision.
Got it. Nicely done. And you have passed. Nice job, Tom. Over to you.
All right, Glenn.
Okay.
Last set of four questions. Are you sitting comfortably?
I am indeed.
Good. Then we'll begin. Question number one. What food is most likely to be discovered to have secret healing powers heretofore unknown?
Cauliflower. Yeah.
And bonus question, what will it heal?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, it certainly helps keep you regular.
Yeah.
You know.
But we already know that.
Yeah. Well, that's no, I don't secret. Know. I don't know. I've just gotten into cauliflower recently.
Yeah.
And I'm actually impressed how much I'm liking it. So I think there's something to
it. Cauliflower ear is the answer, right?
Well, yeah. Cure my gout.
There you go.
Oh, your gout. Yeah, Tom's gout. Man, Tom's gout.
I've gout in my shoulder. I don't know what that means. Question number two. Okay was essentially a meme for the abbreviation fad that began in Boston in the summer of 1838. Yes. But we still use it today. In fact, it's worldwide.
Old Kinderhook.
What internet meme is most likely to have the staying power of okay?
Not YOLO. That's for sure. I think, well, LOL certainly has thus far. I think LOL is with us.
Good call.
You know, like it or not.
Yeah.
LOL is, and people are not even laughing out loud most of the time when they use it.
I resisted using LOL for years, and I've totally fallen into the habit now.
We have to accept it.
It's inevitable. Good. Yes. I think you're right. I think that's absolutely right. Question number three, asteroids. Are we really ever going to live on asteroids? Should we live on asteroids? I'm reading a book right now that has a civilization on one of the asteroids in the asteroid belt.
No, that would be interesting. I mean, because it's almost like the idea that you're, I mean, that would be like living on a humpback whale. I mean, the idea that you're on a vessel that is doing its own thing that you can't really necessarily control. But it'd be an interesting way to travel through space. I mean, the idea that you're just hitching a ride on it. So for that reason, I don't know about living, but I think for short-term space travel, it certainly has.
Catch an asteroid?
Yeah, no, think about it. I mean, that would be a way
well,
to
Well, comets
it.
Would take you out to the edge.
That's
so
true.
You could do that, too.
Yeah.
Actually, there's lots of debris can get you places.
Yeah. That's, no, that's an interesting
that's
way
cool.
to do space travel.
Right, right. No, I like that. And question number four, the last of the four questions. When will the term Falcon Punch finally receive its due for the brilliance it contains?
Hasn't it already? I think it depends on where you travel on the internet, you know, in certain circles.
When will it get the widespread acclaim it deserves, though?
I don't know, but then it'll be over, right?
Falcon Punch you!
When your mom starts using it, it's not cool anymore. That's
true, actually. Careful what you wish for,
yes.
Falcon Punch fans. That is the end of four questions. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
And thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you both for being here. Dave, of course, founder, host at the Sci-Fi Podcasting Network, Galactic Nedcast. You can follow him on the Twitter at TheInterDave. And let folks know about Galactic Nedcast. What are they going to find when they go there? Where can they go to find it?
GalacticNedcast.com. We do three weekly shows. Sci-Fi Film School. We do one about alien invasions, and we do one about general sci-fi topics called Time Traveling Robots in Space. But we're kind of on a break right now because I'm in the middle of a move. I'm moving two states. So we may not be doing shows for a few weeks until I'm settled in.
You're moving states around?
Yes, I have that power, Tom.
That's crazy. Which states are you moving? Do I know not to visit them?
Hawaii and Alaska. Why not?
Yeah, Hawaii's easier, you know. Because it's in the ocean. All right, awesome. GalacticNedcast.com. Glenn Rubenstein, of course, our community management promo and marketing guru, expert, awesome guy. Anyway, whatever you want to call yourself. Where can folks find you on the internet?
I'm at Glenn Rubenstein on the Twitter.
With two N's,
yes.
In
and Dave and I do a lot of stuff on Spreecast. So if you follow me, you'll get notified. We do a show about what we're watching on TV each week. We do a general weekend show on Friday afternoons. And we're intermittently doing a weight loss show, sort of a little fit club where we get together and talk about what we're eating, what we're doing to better ourselves,
that's
using
great.
It as a nice support group.
Very
mechanism.
Cool. All right.
Glenn, the first rule of the Spreecast fit club is not talk about it. So why did you talk about it?
I just can't help myself.
Well, you guys can talk about that on the next episode of the show that we won't mention.
No.
Scott Johnson, the world of frog pants is about to explode later this month.
Yeah, it is.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Their tickets are sold out, of course. They have been for a while. But Nerdtacular 2012, baby, happens on the 23rd of this month, and it's coming up in less than 3 weeks. And you'll be there, of course. All those in attending, I think they're going to love what
you're doing. Is there going to be live stream?
There will be. There'll be a live stream of the event. We're also taping the entire thing. By a group of people coming from the University of Applied Technology.
You're videotaping it?
They are putting it on film, I suppose. I don't know how the kids say it today, but they are going to film the whole thing, document the whole thing. We'll put it in DVD format, have some streaming stuff as well. These guys do TED Talks. Like, that's how awesome the stuff's
going. Oh, wow. So they know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, big time. So really stoked about all of those things. But there's so much going on right now. People should just go to Frog Pants and check it out or follow me on Twitter. You know, if you really want to be annoyed during E3, I recommend following me on Twitter because I just flood the joint from the minute there's a press conference until they're done with snarky, stupid comments. And it's a whole lot of fun. Just follow me at Scott Johnson.
Call of Duty should be called Call of Duty.
I know, right?
It's actually better.
One last thing. Today, that wasn't our last four questions segment. Next week, can we tease what we're doing, and I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, next week, Tom and I forecast right here on Twit, very last episode, and we will be interviewing each other, our own predictions, which we've never really been able to do. Our wives have asked us questions, but never have we crossed these streams like this. And we'll ask each other four questions at the end of the show.
So we can't put them in the doc, right? We got to keep them secret.
You got to keep them separate. All right. Keep them all secret.
So, kind of two-cast.
Tune into that. And a tip of the hat that I'm not wearing to Tony for all his great work over
there. Yes, thank you, Tony Wang, for your unending service to Forecast. You'll be back next week, though, right? One last time. One last round for Forecast. So we will talk to you then. Don't forget, you can find all 121 episodes and soon all 122 episodes at our website, forecastpodcast.com. Thanks to everybody who's been watching or listening throughout the years. We will see you next time for one last time.
It's only 32 years away.
Wait.
Yay! Thanks, you guys.
Good job. Yeah, way to go, fun. 3 Pete. Way to go, Dave. 1 Pete.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Tom. Sorry, Glenn, for not mentioning our shows.
But oh, that's cool.
I figured you would.
Yes.
What? Glenn promote a show he's doing? Come on. That doesn't happen.
I'm still getting used to the new format of the show. That's why I like to come up with the quick little funny things.
Yeah, right. You know? Because we used to have the three parts.
Yeah, I like the little one-liners.
Well, that's a good question, Scott. Should we do the old format next week?
Oh.
The short term, long term, and crazy ass.
You know, I think we might.
Yes,
why don't
please.
We?
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah, why don't we do that? That's a nice nod to the early days, and you know, when the show was when it first started, people may not remember. Some may not remember this, but you know, it was a show Tom came up with and
in
it
a dream,
all on the Sub-Brilliant Network, and we did it independently and outside of Twit. It was before you even went to Twit,
yep.
And it's been a crazy ride since. So
the reason I quit CNET. No, it's
it was Forecast.
Yeah. You can't do that Forecast show. Yeah, I'll show you.
Yeah, I'm out of here.